Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Studios for August 12th, 2019. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to review Montreal as well as Toronto and look forward to Cincinnati this week. Let's introduce our co-host. Parsa, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Super pumped. Coming to New York next week to begin U.S. Open coverage. I'll be there for a couple weeks, so everybody watch out for that. Looking super forward to it. Last major of the season, but we still have a really big tournament this week to talk about, as well as review all the action that took place last week in Toronto as well as Montreal. So, Parsa, let's start with the action that took place in Toronto, with Bianca Andreescu actually winning the Canadian Open, the Rogers Cup, which is amazing. Like, she lives in Mississauga, which, for those of you who don't know, is very close to the site, and, I mean, obviously in Canada. And, I mean, she just crushed it. She got through. I know Serena withdrew 3-1 down. But you know what, man? She deserved to win that tournament. I mean, if she looked at it, she'd be Kennan, she'd be Pliskova, I mean, she went through some really hard matches, even playing Bouchard first round, who's obviously not an informed player. That's still not a tough, you know, that's a very tough match because she hasn't played in a couple months. Coming back, you're playing a fellow Canadian who obviously has had some more results relatively than you in your career up until this point, even though it's a very young career. So that can get very tricky. She got through that one. And then, you know, just showed her athleticism and her defense and her offense and her variety and all of that stuff. So, Parsa, I ask you, as a non-Canadian, as an American, how do you feel about this Canadian and her future as she goes forward? What do you see her ceiling being? And then we'll talk a little bit about Serena, and is this a real cause for concern? As, you know, now she's made some finals in the last year and a bit, but she's also either lost very badly or have to retire.
Yeah, I mean, I think very fair questions. In terms of Andreescu, I mean, she's the entire package. She can move, she can change speeds, she can take the ball early. She's got a very, very bright future and someone who's going to be in the game. And I think will go as high as being number one in the world. And so look out for a lot from her. She's got the edge and the swagger, and you can see that she loves it, and she wants more of it. And so I think she's determined, and as long as she has the right people around her, I think the future is very, very bright for her. In terms of Serena, I think, you know, you're running into some sort of bad luck, coupled with age, coupled with coming back from a very serious, you know, serious maybe the wrong word, just a something that dramatically changes a body, and to try to bring it back to an elite professional athletic level has been a challenge that even has been difficult for Serena Williams. And so it's not easy being a mom, and you know, it's the most important job, you know, anyone will ever have. At the same time, you know, she's trying to live the life of a professional athlete who, you know, truthfully needs to be very selfish for herself. And so I think that's the challenge that we're seeing, and unfortunately her body's breaking down at the wrong times, and mentally at the same time she's, you know, maybe not as strong, not because of a lack of desire, but just a lack of ability to have those long training sessions and to, you know, to just really lock into that fight and that will. I think she needs a little bit more of a push. She's very close. She has been very close. And I think at some point she'll eclipse that plateau, and once she does, I think we're going to get another dominant run out of her. I believe in her.
Yeah, I mean, I believe in her too. I think the thing for me, Parsa, is that, okay, so with in regards to the Rogers Cup, you know, she's playing like starting a Wednesday match. She's having to play like 4 or 5 days in a row. You don't get that at a slam, which is obviously beneficial to her. I think that making the finals of those majors in the last little bit and losing to Osaka and, you know, Kerber and stuff like that, I just think she got nervous. I mean, I think in those moments she got nervous. Yesterday, I mean, she, to be honest with you, I mean, from her, she said that I couldn't really rotate my upper body and that was affecting my serve. She was serving really well. I thought her forehand was really off. She was overhitting a lot of forehands, and I was like, okay, well, this is not, you know, not really good at all. She wasn't hitting him in the net, but super out, like 6 feet, and that's not really, you know, her margin. She's obviously such a clean ball and gets so many balls in the court that you could just tell something was up. And then she pulled the plug because she's like, okay, well, U.S. Open's coming up. To me, what's amazing is that she, you know, she went to Cincinnati. She's there right now, and they're gonna assess if she's gonna play on Wednesday. I really don't know why she would do that, to be honest with you, but I guess they think that she needs matches. Her and Mortoglu sat down and said, listen, well, if you can play, because she said this is kind of one of those things that goes away after 48 hours or whatever, by Wednesday I could be probably good to go. If it was me, I wouldn't play Cincy. Nothing against the tournament, but I just think that you need to rest up as much as possible and just really go out there and hit the ball, and when you get to the latter stages of the event, just let it go. I mean, this is somebody who knows what they're doing, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the U.S. Open is going to be her time. You've kind of alluded to in this show as well as a couple other ones that you think next year she's going to have a big year. But, I mean, then she's, you know, that's the year she turns 39. So it's like, you know, is this an endless, you know, reservoir of youth that her and, you know, somebody like Federer have that they never are going to age and they can just win, keep winning majors as long as they want to? I'm not sure, but it remains to be seen for me. But I think that she has a chance, I think, at the U.S. Open. But she just needs to keep it under control when it's there for her. But otherwise, I thought it was a good tournament in Toronto. I mean, Andreescu, for me, again, a smart move, veteran move for the 19-year-old not to play Cincinnati this week after playing so many hours. I mean, she had 3.5-hour matches, 2.5-hour matches. I mean, the Serena one, which was 19, was probably a blessing for her because, you know, she can chill now and you know, have a good couple weeks off, get down to New York super early, and then give it a good run there. And I mean, who's going to stop her in New York at this point? I think she's got a really good chance of going really deep at the U.S. Open. And you know how I am. I'm not just one to get excited about Canadian players. They got to do something for me to really talk about them. So I'm very critical on them as well. So I think that it's going to be good stuff. And, you know, we'll see how that how that develops. And I just want to get your thoughts on Andreescu, and what do you think, like, is her career, you know, and her game style right now good enough for you? That I know you always talk about players having to get better, but do you think that, you know, she's good enough right now for the next couple of years with the game that she has, and what would you like to see her improve on as she moves forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. Like I said, I think she's has to continue to get better in that she already has the ability to mix it up and play with some variety, but there's going to be instances and surfaces where she's going to need to be a little bit more of a bully. And I think as time goes on, her timing is impeccable, and since she's able to see the ball so early, I think as time goes on, as long as she's working on these things, she'll be able to take the ball earlier and earlier as her career goes on, coupled with great defensive skill. And I think you're just going to get, you know, a better version of even, like, let's say, like a Halep right now. You know, someone who can win 4 or 5 slams, who's got that all-around game that is going to be there for a very long time. So, you know, what I do right now with her is I continue to work on her strengths at this age and where she is right now to make them as close to elite as possible, and then begin the march on working on some new things and improved things, you know, versus calling them weaknesses. I like to call them improvements.
Yeah, I agree. But definitely, I mean, the thing for me more than anything is her attitude, right? Like, she believes that she should be winning. And that's, I mean, how many kids have we seen now you know, both men's and women's sides, that they get there and then they're like, okay, and then they fall apart because they just don't have that confidence and the belief in their game. So, I mean, credit to her because she looks like she's the real deal, no question about it. She won Indian Wells and Rogers Cup, which on the women's tour, apart from the Grand Slams, are two of the biggest events of the season. So, you know, dropping quickly into the draws this week, we're not going to dwell on them too much, but we got Ash Barty as the top seed. She's going to face the winner of Sharapova at Risk. We got Sakari, who won today. We got Kvitova, who's back, who was out last week. Pliskova. We have Sloane Stephens, who I think needs a pretty good tournament here. Kiki Bertens. We had Venus win earlier today. Halep, who had a little bit of an injury. So it's going to be interesting for me to see how she rebounds this week because, you know, she's the, you know, reigning Wimbledon champion. She's going to want to have a good run at the US Open. And then we have Svitolina and then Osaka, who is the number two seed, who's actually back to number one in the world as of yesterday, as of today. So what do you think, when you look at this draw, what are some of the players that you're looking for, and ultimately who do you think is going to take this title? I want to just put in one quick asterisk here, something that for me is a bit troubling, is that Amanda Anisimova has withdrawn again. She didn't play in Toronto last week with a back injury. So for the youngster, I mean, that we've raved about now for a while, you know, she's out of both warm-up events leading into the US Open. Remains to be seen if she's going to play next week. And if she doesn't, she goes into the US Open if she plays with nothing. So that, to me, is not a good sign. But anyhow, with the players that we have in this draw, who do you like and who do you see as your winner at the end of the week?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely look at, someone like Barty who needs to get the party started, so to say, on the hard courts. I think she really can, find the fast courts to be helpful for her, especially for her serve. So I think she's one to watch. I think you have to watch Kvitova and Pliskova because, you know, it's their sort of final tune-up for the U.S. Open. You know, as you said, Sloane Stephens needs to do some damage. And, you know, other than that, you know, I don't know how much Osaka has to prove. You know, yeah, she's been inconsistent, but so what? She can get hot, and you know what her level is. You kind of know what you're going to get out of her. You know, the rest of it is sort of wild card to see is will any of the lower half of the draw make a name and make a run and sort of continue the momentum into New York. So I think that's what you're looking at. You know, for me, I think Ashley Barty is gonna come through, and I think she's going to take this title and sort of take control. I think she's the best player in the world right now, and I know that, Halep won Wimbledon, but I just feel like Barty is gonna be the first one to emerge of that Andreescu, this sort of new crop that's coming up. I think she's the most well-rounded and ready to be the leader of the pack now, at least. She may not be in the end, but right now, I think she's the best player out there.
Okay, I think, from what I'm seeing, if Halep and her ankle and everything is in good shape, I think she's got something to say in this one. Muguruza, I mean, it's a tough match against Madison Keys right off the bat. I want to get your thoughts actually on Madison Keys because I remember I texted you last week when she was playing against Vecic in the first round on the grandstand, and it was just like, I was like, what's going on here? But I'll get into that in a moment. I mean, I think when I look at this draw, I think that Osaka, for me, I think I'm looking at an Osaka Sloane Stephens final. And from there, I'm going to take Osaka to win this title. That's what I'm going with. But I want to talk about Madison Keys a little bit because I remember, and you had some interesting things to say about that, because I texted you when she was playing against Donna Vecic. She ended up losing that match 7-6 in the third set. And you actually said, well, you know, she ended up proving me right. And I was like, how is she not winning any majors, man? She is lacing the ball in the corner, right? Absolutely crushing it. Both forehand and backhand, big serve. Not the worst mover I've ever seen, you know. But nevertheless, you know, she's never won a Grand Slam. And you had to. And then, what did you basically say to that? What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I said it was, you know, because she's always been inconsistent. You know, it's she can't keep up that level for a long enough period of time, and so. She's shown it to be able to do it for a couple of days, but not for over a 2-week span. And that, and then basically right in that match, she went from looking like a Grand Slam champion to someone who was going to lose in the first round, all in the same match. So, yeah. You know, she proved me right there.
And it's really unfortunate because she's a really nice girl, but she's got to be able to definitely add some more dimensions. Now, can she do that? I don't think she's the type of player that is all of a sudden going to have a lot of feel out there. That she doesn't strike me as that type of, you know what I mean? Like, she's a little bit more of a, just a power player, right? Kind of like maybe a Sam Querrey type, you know what I mean? Not going to have a lot of finesse.
And yeah, or like her coach, Lindsay Davenport, you know?
Exactly. Well, that was a good match
yeah.
at the time, right?
Yeah.
They had it set up. So, anyhow, I mean, that's what we think about the women's side for now. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think U.S. Open's going to be really cool on the women's side, especially if Andreescu can have a deep run. She, you know, she's going to, I think the New York crowd's really going to like her. And Osaka's going to be around. I mean, hopefully Serena's fit and ready to go. So we'll see how that transpires. But jumping now into the men's draw, let's talk a little bit about Montreal. So we had Rafa Nadal winning again. And to me, this is the interesting thing. So he only had to win 4 matches, right? Because he got first round bye. He got a semifinal walkover because Monfils couldn't play after he beat Batista Agut earlier in the day because of rain the night before. He takes on Medvedev, who has had an amazing year. He's up to 8 in the world. He absolutely tunes him, right? He beats him 3-0. He's the first time in his career, Parsa, where Nadal has defended a hardcore title, which is very interesting. He wins the Canadian Open for the 5th time. I mean, and now he's not playing in Cincy. In your opinion, is it a good idea for him not to play Cincinnati, considering the fact that he only had to play 4 matches last week? And let's be honest, that final was not, I mean, it was like an hour and 20 minutes. It was a walk in the park. Medvedev hits a big ball. He was just either hitting him in or hitting him out. He hit mostly out. It was done. He didn't have to play his semis. So he's basically, from like Friday, he hasn't really played that much tennis. What does he do now? He goes all the way back to, you know, Mallorca? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit weird. I don't know. I think that for me, I go play Cincy. I'm not saying tank or anything, but just play, you know? And then you're in the States. You warm up. You know, you can go practice even if you lose 3rd round, whatever. You're still going to be in good form. And then see what happens from there. Am I wrong on this one? Or would you have gone with the, you know, the train of thought where, like, no, we're good. We got you know, Canada in the bag. Let's go chill for a bit and then head over to NYC. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he got it right.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason is because, you know, he needed to adjust his game to the hard court, outdoor hard court, and that was the purpose of the matches. Like, he doesn't need to gain a rhythm or those kinds of things because he's at the stage of his career where he can hit balls with his eyes closed. It's really just about his shot selection, you know, how he hits the ball, where he serves in the box, you know, how he has to give variety and change up his patterns of play. And the 4 matches gave him more than enough live practice in order to fine-tune himself for a hardcore event. And so now he'll go back and he'll chill a little bit and practice those patterns and understand exactly what it's going to take in order to be successful. And I think he's going to be more than ready to go at the U.S. Open. So at the same time, he's relatively healthy, you know, from what we know. And
yes,
we know that, we know that he hits 5 or 6 matches and his knee is going to start getting taped up. So, you know, it's happens, whatever, 10 years in a row. So it's going to be no different this year. So why not for him to grind through and push through, you know, the semi and final of the U.S. Open versus having to do so in the 4th round, you know, and by the quarterfinals, he'll be toast, you know. So I think that's the difference by not playing Cincinnati.
And, you know, I look at this draw. First thing that jumps out to me, again, we have Grigor Dimitrov facing against Stan Wawrinka, which is just, this is amazing. I mean, really, I think it's actually good for Stan because, you know, Grigor is in such terrible form that the guy can't, you know, he can't hit the ocean with a rock right now. And it's just like, and Stan's going to go in there, probably beat him against straight sets. Djokovic is back. For me, the story's here, Parsa. And let's just be honest, man. Is anybody going to win this tournament except for Djokovic or Federer? And this is, you know, they played in the finals last year and Djokovic completed his Masters 1000, you know, sweep of all 9 of them, including all the majors and everything. So he's got that all wrapped up. Federer's coming back after that Wimbledon final that was heartbreaking for him. So is there going to be any scar tissue from that match? Well, it remains to be seen, right? I don't think so, but there might be. And so that's going to be interesting. But when you look at the bottom half, right, you got Fed and Djokovic in the top. In the bottom half, we have Zverev, Thiem, Nishikori, and then obviously Nadal's out, and Kukushkin took his place. So no disrespect to Kukushkin, but he's no Nadal. So, and then Andy Murray played today, lost to Gasquet 4-4, so he's already done. OJ Aliassim lost today too, he's out. I don't know, I mean, like, it's looking to me like this is the winner of this is going to be either Federer or Djokovic. I can't really see somebody, Thiem to me is not playing. I don't really think he cares about the hardcore season that much. Zverev cares, but he's just not in the form. Nishikori maybe, but if it's a Nishikori Federer final, Nishikori Djokovic final, I think we would both agree that Nishikori is not going to win that match. So I'm not trying to speak for you. I'm just saying I think that's what you would say. But maybe a guy like Riley Opelka, maybe he's ready to do it, right? I'm not sure. So what do you think of this draw? I'll tell you right now, I would be really surprised if Djokovic doesn't win this tournament. That's basically what I have to say. In a way, it's not good because it's like, you know, how many more times are Nadal and Djokovic or Federer going to win a tournament? Well, it's not really stopping at any time soon. So that's pretty much what I got. But what do you think about this draw here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a Djokovic cleaning of the house here because, you know, it's just everything's right, but you never know. He can lose in an early round, and sometimes he's just not locked in and sharp. And so if he doesn't go out early, he's going to be there at the end, put it that way. You know, I definitely agree. And I mean, the draw is kind of decimated. It's not that fun when you don't have, you know, a big guy in four quadrants. You know, it's sort of makes the draw open and gives opportunity, but we don't have anyone really in form enough to step it up. You know, the only real name that comes up in the bottom half of the draw for me that is important is Cilic. A guy like Cilic on these types of courts in this time of the year has proven that he can clobber balls and get hot. And so, you know, for him, he could make a semi or final here, and it would be a big deal going into the U.S. Open. He could do some serious damage.
But I will correct you there and say that he lost today to Radu Albot 4-6.
So then, never mind. So then that's not happening. So yeah, really, the bottom half has got nothing interesting.
No, and to me, I mean, I think we should end this. So who do you have? So who do you have winning the title?
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with you. Djokovic looks like the guy.
Now, so I want to end the show off with a comparison, Parsa, between Nick Kyrgios, who recently won the Washington title, played very disciplined, engaged tennis, looked great, played a lot of tough matches, and he got through all of them. And he won his second title of the year to go along with Acapulco, beat a couple of top teners in Medvedev and Tsitsipas, to go along with beating Nadal and Wawrinka and, I believe, Isner earlier this year. So, I mean, the guy can, once again, has proven that he can beat the best of the best. Then we got a guy like Denis Shapovalov, who has been in terrible form lately. And you were talking about the fact that he hasn't really improved his game, and you would like to see him do that. How do you see right now, what would you basically, first of all, what's your analysis on Kyrgios right now, and do you see him doing damage here and then at the US Open? What do you see for Shapovalov? And if you don't see that happening, why don't you see it happening for them as well?
Yeah, so Kyrgios first, I mean, the problem with Kyrgios is that he self-admittedly doesn't sit there and put in the necessary work in order to be consistent enough. And so the problem with a slam is that, you know, he's going to have already played quite a bit of tennis by winning Washington and having a lot of physical matches. You got to think he's not 100% in the tank. And come the U.S. Open, he may be ready, physically fit at 100% for the round one. But by round three or four, unless he's serving unreal, and he's just getting 50 aces, you know, 40 aces a match, I think it's going to be very hard for him, you know, to physically withstand the tennis, you know, best of five. I think it's the the inconsistent player's biggest nemesis is the time, you know, and best of five is literally what it is. To win three sets is just harder simply than two. And you have to be very consistent in order to win three against a very good player. And you have to be on their number, and anything can change. And in a Grand Slam, that's how it works. With Shapovalov, you know, it's cool. You know, the brash, the hitting, everyone has figured out, hey, let me put an extra ball in the court. And the guy's struggling big time, and he hasn't adjusted to it. You know, that's what upsets me, you know, more than anything. He's still obviously young, but he just puts so much energy into every ball that it's, you find it hard for him to find a more relaxed gear and just put in some rally balls. You know, his game is so predicated on being aggressive and offensive. You know, and his, you know, he's spotty with his serve. It can be lights out, and sometimes it's vulnerable. And so he can just get on these streaks, and sometimes they go negative, and that's the curse of the aggressive player. And, you know, though generally those guys mature a little bit later, as long as they have some discipline. And so, you know, he just hasn't shown me that ability, even the willingness to be a little bit more neutral, or to, you know, just to, and lose, you know, whatever, just show that your desire is to find that swirl of tennis, between smart, aggressive, offensive tennis and, you know, extending points a little bit longer. It can't just be black and white, that's for sure anymore. The guys are too good out there.
Yeah, and that's why you saw him have a fantastic 2017, and to a certain degree 2018 was okay. He's had some decent results this year, but lately he's really been struggling, and he's gonna have to pick it up, because, you know, you get washed out pretty quick, man, and this is a tough, men's tennis is tough. Yeah, I mean, there's two or three guys who are winning everything big, but there's still room to be like a Medvedev or Khachanov and be 8-9 in the world, right? So, you know, if you want to get to that point, you still need big results. You got to, you know, the thing for me is, Shapovalov has still yet to make a final. You know, and that to me is like, that's incredible.
That shows the lack of experience, you know.
Exactly, and that's I mean, even Felix has made what, 2-3 finals this year, right? So that to me is, for him, that's going to be very frustrating, because he's done all this stuff in his career. And he, you know, he's still searching just to make a 250 final, right? So, anyhow, looks good. Looks good, Parsa, this week. So I think it's gonna be a fun week of tennis. I always love this time of year. I love the transition between Canada and Cincy, a little bit of a break for a week, and then everything is fired up for New York. And so honestly, for everybody out there, make sure at some point you get down to New York, because U.S. Open is just, it's incredible. So much good stuff to do there, and they just do such a fantastic job at the event. So wholeheartedly recommend it. Okay, so with that said, Parsa and I will be back next week to preview the U.S. Open. I will have a couple shows from New York before we wrap it up from there. And I'd like to say thank you, Parsa, for joining us this week, firstly.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. Make sure to follow Parsa on Instagram as well as Twitter. You can follow Tennis Connected on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can download this podcast on iTunes or Android, and follow it on tennisconnected.com. Thanks again for listening. We really appreciate your feedback, and look forward to talking and hearing from you guys soon.